In the first reading from the book of Exodus, God gives the people of Israel the law, the Ten Commandments. And the law is still the foundation of our justice system today, even here in secular United States. There was one very important element that was lacking, though, in that giving of this law. It was only the letter of the law. There was not also the gift of the Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, the Israelites would never be able to keep the entirety of the law. They could be forgiven for their transgressions, but their heart was not yet transformed to be able to live that law. In the gospel, the Holy Spirit descends upon the humanity of Jesus at his baptism, and then today we see that zeal for God's house consumes him. And it's good for us to remember that God's house is not just a reference to a building, right? The Christian disciple is the house of God. The zeal of Jesus and our zeal is and should be directed at the purity and the prayerfulness of the temple of God, which is our body, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. In the power of that Spirit, the zeal of Jesus demands perfection for his temple, for you and me. And only with the Spirit is that possible. Now, all of the baptized have been given the gift of that Spirit. And so, therefore, we now operate not only with the law, but also with the Spirit that enables us to fulfill that law, to live it. The Christian life is about our growing into the gift of His Spirit that we received at our baptism. You'll often hear me say, you know, I'm still trying to let that the water from my baptism seep into all the dry spots that are still there. There's still places that are not yet wet from my baptism. And that brings us to the next step in the Mass. After we make the sign of the cross at the very beginning, which is the sign of our discipleship, right? Accepting our weakness so that the power of God and His cross can work in us. And naming the Holy Trinity as the fullest revelation of from the cross. Then there's this brief dialogue between the priest and the assembly. The Lord be with you. And with your spirit. It's a part of the Mass that's so familiar to us. It's easy to do without even thinking about it. But it's really a very meaningful and very important, very biblical exchange there. And the importance of this little exchange is illustrated by the fact that we do it 5 times every Mass. At the very beginning, at the very end, and then at 3 key points in the middle, right before the Gospel, to begin the Eucharistic prayer, and right before we receive Holy Communion. So where is that, those two phrases, where do they come from, and what do they mean? Each expression has a biblical background, but nowhere in the Bible do we find these exact phrases. So this exchange was coined specifically for the new reality of Christian worship. It's a specifically and thoroughly Christian expression. The Lord be with you is only ever said to the baptized. So there are times, for example, in the RCIA program, when we have a prayer just with the catechumens, those who are not yet baptized. And that prayer will never include this dialogue precisely because they're not yet baptized. The Lord, in the Lord be with you, refers to the Lord who is the Spirit. And it's only through baptism that the Holy Spirit begins to indwell in that person. And that's why I tend to bristle whenever someone wants to rebaptize a Catholic. Because it's like they're saying that we don't have the Holy Spirit, and we do. We do. In baptism, the presence of the Holy Spirit was planted, so to speak, in your heart. And it's baptism which then enables you to participate in the Mass at all and to be able to offer the sacrifice here on the altar. It's only because you're baptized that you're able to lay your intentions on the gifts of bread and wine that are offered and transformed on the altar. That's why, under normal times, when we enter into the church, right, we dip our hands in the holy water, and we sign ourselves with that. Because it reminds us, we are reminding ourselves, I belong here. I can participate in the Eucharist and offer sacrifice at that altar because I've been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There are lots of places throughout the Old Testament where the Lord is said to be with an individual. And it's almost always in the context of that person being given a specific gift from God in order to accomplish a particular task. So, for example, in the Old Testament, there's the story of Gideon, right? And Gideon is greeted by an angel and told that he has been chosen to fight a battle to free the Israelites from this enemy that's oppressing, this foreign enemy that's oppressing them. And when the angel greets Gideon, he says to him, "The Lord is with you, O champion. The Lord is with you so that you can lead an army and free God's people." When we gather for Mass, we're gathering for something a lot more important than just an earthly battle. In one of St. Paul's letters, he says, we run the race not just for a crown of grass, but for an eternal crown, an imperishable inheritance. And so here we gather to be nourished by God's word and by God's sacrament and to offer the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving so that we can enter into eternity. Because of your baptism, you can do that. And when the priest says to you, "The Lord be with you," he's stirring up within you the presence of the Holy Spirit within you to enable you to accomplish this task. Now, the church actually gives three different options for that initial greeting. There's a simple one, "The Lord be with you." And then the other two are embellishments on that same phrase that are taken directly from the letters of St. Paul. So there's 9 of St. Paul's letters that have as their initial greeting, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." That's one of the alternatives. The more elaborate, the other one, comes as the farewell in St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all." Right? We're all hopefully somewhat familiar with those. They're just two different ways of saying, "The Lord be with you. The Lord who is the Spirit be with you." Now, there's actually a fourth greeting that only the bishop is allowed to say when he presides. If he were to come here, he would probably begin Mass by saying, "Peace be with you." All right? And that's the greeting that Jesus himself gave to the apostles at his resurrection appearances. So, I get to quote St. Paul. The bishop gets to quote Jesus. I have no problem with that. The response that you give back to the priest is also very unique. It's only ever said to one who is ordained as priest, as deacon, priest, or bishop. And the Spirit, right, and with your Spirit, in this case, is a lowercase s Spirit. Because it refers not to the Holy Spirit, but to a gift of the Spirit that I received, for example, when I was ordained a priest. So there are times in the church when a layperson, someone who's been baptized, can lead a prayer service for the church, but on those occasions, they never say, "The Lord be with you," because they shouldn't receive the response back, "And with your Spirit." When you say that response back to me, on your part, you're stirring up within me the gift of the Spirit that I received when I was ordained a priest. So in a very beautiful way, when we have this dialogue, this exchange between us, it functions both as a type of roll call, but also as a calling forth of our respective gifts. So in order to celebrate this Mass, in other words, we want to have present both the baptized and the ordained. We want the whole church. The baptized are called to holiness. And the ordained is called to a particular kind of service. To celebrate Mass, we need holiness. We need your holiness. And we need service. We need my service. And so this is kind of, you know, do we have the baptized? Yes. Do we have the ordained? Yes. Then we have all that we need to offer sacramental worship, to offer the sacrifice of praise, to transform bread and wine, and more importantly, to transform our hearts and lives. I was talking with Father Paul about this exchange, and he said, that it reminds me of something. It's making me think of something. And he finally said, oh, you know, when growing up as a kid, you know, we'd go to like a sporting event or some kind of event, and one side would shout to the other, we have spirit, yes we do, we have spirit, how about you? You're sleeping. I knew it. But, you know, the idea is right, you know, and maybe here in Columbia it would be a little better to say, M-I-Z? Thank you. When you do that at a sporting event, at a game, a football, basketball, whatever game, you're stirring up your spirit. You're getting into the game. You're encouraging yourself and others. Let's cheer them on. Let's cheer on the players. Let's get them fired up. Let's get ourselves fired up. And it's not so different from what we are doing here in the Mass. Let's get our individual respective gifts fired up, stirred up, because what we're doing is important, is real. And so when we do that roll call at the beginning of our worship, is the church fully gathered? Yes. We do it right before the most important parts of the Mass, the gospel, when Jesus proclaims his word to us. Is the whole church gathered? Yes. At the Eucharistic prayer, when the bread and wine are transformed into his body and blood, is the whole church ready? Yes. At communion, when we receive the consecrated gifts, is the whole church ready? Yes. And finally, before we're sent forth to live the Mass in our lives, we have that dialogue one more time at the end. It's as though the church would remind us before we part ways and go out now, and transform the world by your holiness and service. Do we have the whole church ready? Yes. So I encourage all of us to participate in that dialogue today and from now on with a deeper engagement, with a deeper understanding and a greater gratitude for the gifts of baptism and ordination, of holiness and service. We're stronger when the whole church, the fullness of Christ's body, is gathered together and prays together as one. And so your homework for the week is to stir up the Spirit who was given to you at your baptism so that the tasks before you each day this week, whatever they may be done not just with your own effort, but with the co-working of the Spirit who has made you his own temple. Come, Holy Spirit.